This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Hello and welcome to the Write Club podcast, where we take you behind the pages and into the fascinating world of writing. I'm Mary and this is Beth, and we're part of the team at Writing Magazine and Writers Online. Hi Beth, how are you?
Yeah, really good, thank you. We're going to get straight on to introducing our brilliant guest this week. Laurie Gilmore is a number one New York Times, Sunday Times and Globe and Mail best-selling author who writes small town romance. Her first novel, The Pumpkin Spice Cafe, won the TikTok Shop Book of the Year award in 2024. Book 5 in the Dream Harbor series is out this September. And if the online hype is to be believed, the title of book 6 has already been revealed, showing that we won't be leaving Dream Harbor anytime soon. Gilmore says she loves finding books with the perfect balance of sweetness and spice and strives for that in her own writing. And she's currently based in upstate New York. Laurie, welcome to the Write Club podcast. Where are you joining us from today?
Hi, thanks for having me. Yes, I am in my bedroom in upstate New York.
And is that where you do your writing?
So it's a little bit in flux at the moment, but I usually write in a little corner of my bedroom, but we're now renovating the house, hopefully very soon, and redoing our attic and making me like a little office up in the attic away from everyone. So hopefully I'll be writing up there soon. But yeah, for now it's like corner of the bedroom.
Could you just tell us a little bit about book number 5, The Gingerbread Bakery?
Sure. Well, it's finally Annie and Mac's story. So for anyone that's been reading from the beginning, they've been there in the background torturing everyone for a while now. Sorry about that, everybody. But they're finally here coming September. They exist. And yeah, we get to see why they hate each other so much. That will finally become clear. And yeah, the whole book is kind of set during Jeannie and Logan's wedding. So they're like the couple from Pumpkin Spice Cafe from the first book, and they're getting married. And of course, the entire town has to be involved in that because it's Dream Harbor and they're involved in everything. So that's kind of the setting. It's all happening at the Christmas Tree Farm. Kira has renovated the barn. So she's now doing weddings, of course, obviously. And yeah, that's kind of the gist. I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, you'll get to finally see Annie and Mac's backstory and maybe why they're so mad at each other. And maybe by the end, they won't be so mad at each other anymore.
That's exactly what people are waiting for. And I think that from the hype that I've seen around this book is everyone is just so ready for this story.
Yes, we dragged it out long enough. It's time. It's time. It's time. So they're
Give
coming.
Give the people what they want.
Exactly.
I really love that quote about you finding the right balance between sweetness and spice in your books. I think you do that perfectly. The books have been described as feel-good TV in a book, and lots of people have said that they wish they could live in Dream Harbor, which would indeed be lovely. Has the popularity of the series surprised you, and why do you think it's so appealing for people?
Yeah, it's definitely surprised me. When I sat down to write pumpkin spice. I don't know. I thought I was writing a cute little story. It was amusing to me. I liked it, but I had no idea that it was going to kind of blow up like it did. But I think from what I've heard over the past year and just talking to readers and being so immersed in the whole thing, people needed an escape from this world we're currently living in. And I think that's what they're finding in these books. I think that's the appeal. They're cozy. They have that like comfort read quality, like how people have their TV rewatches. I feel like this series kind of does the same thing for people. And yeah, but then it also has the romance. It has the spice, which I know surprised people at first because of those cute covers. But it's in there. So it seems to be working. I don't know. But yeah, I think it's the escape. I feel like that at this moment in time is what people are really looking for. And just somewhere nice to go after a rough day or whatever is going on in their life. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, I know for one that I'd be moving to Dream Harbor in a in a heartbeat. Especially the Pumpkin Spice Cafe. I want to work there.
Yeah. Everyone asks, is it based on a real town? And I'm like, I wish I could tell you it's a real place and we can all go, but it's really just a compilation of places and things in my imagination and TV shows and whatever else got thrown in the mix, but it doesn't exist as far as I know.
Such a shame. Although I don't know whether either of you have seen it, but the series Virgin River on Netflix.
Yes.
It's I think it's based in like in Canada, I want to say.
I think it's shot in Canada, but it's supposed to be California.
Oh, okay. But it's like beautiful. It's gorgeous, area, and it's so mountainous and everyone knows everyone and they're all best friends. And as I was reading the books, I kind of was getting that same vibe, and I was like picturing parts of the film, the series in my head as well as reading. I was like, this is the closest to Dream Harbor as we're gonna get.
Yeah, I feel like that tracks for sure. Yeah, it has the same vibe. It's like everyone knows each other. I think there was even an episode with a wedding, and literally the entire town is there.
That's so true. Oh, if you need to watch that, Max.
Yeah, I'm gonna have a look. Watch that.
Yeah, you should.
And where did the connection between the food and the sweet treats come from?
Okay, this has recently been brought to my attention. This was not on purpose. I just really like food. I don't know. I didn't set out to make every book like food centered, but it just keeps happening. I love food. I like to eat. I like food as a love language, like preparing food for someone. I think that is just like the dream. And I think because the books are so seasonal, like when I think about the season, I'm like, well, what are we eating now? Like, what's the treat of the season? I guess that's just how my brain works. So I just want to eat cinnamon rolls all the time. So yeah, it just kind of happened. I think it's part of the fantasy too of Dream Harbor. You can just eat sweets all day and it's fine. It's fine. Like no one has cavities. No one's diabetic. Like it's totally fine. So it's just all part of the fantasy of Dream Harbor is you can eat snacks all day.
I was going to say about the seasons as well, because it's so true. You know, the winter, you've got the hot chocolate, and then autumn, you've got all the pumpkin, spicy things, and then the strawberries in the summer. It's all very lovely and all together.
Yeah. And I think a lot about just like the sensory experience, you know, of the season, and taste is a big one. So we've got to have the food in the mix. But yeah, I think about all of that, you know, the smells, the sights, just whatever's going to bring you into that particular season. And it's food first, apparently, for me.
Yeah, the books made me super hungry, actually.
Yeah, that is a side effect.
Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself as a writer? Have you always wanted to write, and what was your route to publication?
Sure. I never really considered writing as a career because that just seemed crazy. Like I didn't think that was possible for me. I thought writers were surely some sort of like magical, mythical creatures or so. I don't know. I didn't think it was like, didn't even enter my consciousness. But I always loved to read. So I've always been a reader. And then I was staying home with my kids and they were little, and talking to toddlers all day can make you kind of nutty. So I just kind of started writing as like something to do for myself that was just for me and just to kind of keep my brain from going completely mushy. So that's kind of how it started as a hobby, I guess. And then, you know, I got brave enough to let other people read some things. And then I was kind of like, oh, this is cool. And then I self-published a few things. I did a few like novellas through like small presses, and just kind of kept going from there. And yeah, but I didn't expect it to turn into all of this, honestly. But I did eventually, I signed with One More Chapter, which is an imprint of HarperCollins UK. And that's kind of how all of this really took off, was under them. But yeah, this has all been wildly surprising, honestly.
It's a massive whirlwind, isn't it? Especially when you go from like, oh, it's just a bit of fun, to, oh, I'll take this seriously now.
Yeah, oh, it's my job now. I'm like, oh, okay, I have to do this. It's my job. But I mean,
you can't just put the pen down now. You've got to keep going.
I've got to keep going. I'm not mad about it though.
And what how long did that take, that process from kind of you've just started using that as a hobby, as a bit of an escapism, to finally getting published?
Yeah, I think it's been longer than it feels like in my head. When I think, I'm like, oh, it must have been like, you know, 4 or 5 years. And then I'm like, no, it was definitely pre-COVID. So it's longer than that. So maybe 6 or 7 years, maybe 7, since that first really just like as a hobby. I know I did I don't know if you've heard of it, but the NaNoWriMo, I think it's like canceled now or whatever. They're not doing it anymore. But it was like you write a novel in a month. I did that in 2019, so that was like so long ago now. But that was kind of like really kicked it off for me of like, oh, I can write a full book if you just sit down and write a certain number of words every day, they add up to a book. That was kind of a turning point for me. So yeah, so it's been a while now.
How did you keep that motivation to kind of keep going?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely times where I was like, why am I doing this? You know, you kind of ask yourself that question. You know, I'm spending time on this. At some point, I'm spending money on it, because when I was self-publishing, you know, I was hiring an editor, I was getting covers made. And I remember saying to my husband at one point, like, should I keep doing, like, we're spending money on this thing, like, but it, no one's really, I think I sold, you know, like 12 of those, you know, like self-published things, mostly to like my mom's friends. So I was like, what is this basically? And he was just like, of course yes. Like, people have hobbies. That's a thing. Like, if you like doing it, you should keep doing it. And just every time I kind of thought about stopping, there was something that was just in me, I guess. I was like, I don't want to stop. Like, I want to keep going. I like doing this. So even when no one was reading them, I was like, I'm just going to keep writing to amuse myself, basically.
And the more you write, the better you get. And
this is the real magic that I have learned. It is like any other thing, that if you practice it, you do get better. So those first things that no one will ever see, we're not. But
I'm in under lock and keys.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Those are private. Don't see the light of day, but that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, usually when people ask for writing advice, I just say to do it a lot. Like, just do it a lot, because you will get better.
Yeah, it's brilliant advice. And we all know in the modern world of publishing, that BookTok has absolutely taken off. It's a massive part of promoting your book. And it's the key to success of so many books. Do you remember the moment you first saw your book kind of take off on TikTok, and what was your reaction?
Yeah. Well, this is the funny thing about TikTok for me is that I wasn't on it.
Oh, when it went viral, you weren't even on it.
I wasn't even there. I was not even there. I didn't have a personal TikTok account. Obviously, like HarperCollins does, One More Chapter does, they were, of course, promoting it on their channels. But it just really took off with readers, and I didn't know about it. And I distinctly remember, I mean, I knew book sales were doing well, and I knew, obviously, my editor and everyone was telling me, oh, yeah, it's really taking off on TikTok. But I wasn't really there, like, experiencing it firsthand. And I remember having a conversation with an old friend, and I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm not on TikTok. And she was like, no, you definitely are. your books are there. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah. And so I was really hearing it all secondhand, honestly. I wasn't even there. But yeah, it was, for me, I just think that's kind of makes it extra, I don't know, exciting or something, because it was so much the readers that were really like leading that and posting and sharing and being excited. So, I mean,
yeah,
thanks readers of TikTok, because I mean, it's so great that that really took off in that.
Interesting part of publishing, isn't it? Like it's a new world that we're getting to grips with and learning all about. And yeah, just that something can go viral like that is so exciting.
Yeah. And the funny thing is probably like right before Pumpkin Spice came out, my mom, you know, she's like nearly 70, and she was watching one of her like morning shows, and she's like, well, what you have to do is get it to go viral on TikTok. And I'm like, okay, mom, like piece of cake, I will do that, like easy peasy, like totally teasing her. And then it happened. But I didn't do it, so
she probably thinks it is easy now.
yeah she's like, it's fine, just get your book to go viral on TikTok, like no big deal, bestseller.
like what everyone does. If everyone could do that, then we'd all be famous authors.
I know, as though it's that simple. You just don't know what's gonna hit. And this one just, I think it was the cover, I don't know, it was like a combination. That cover was so postable, you know, people just wanted it for their fall shelves and their fall posts. I think that really helped.
Yeah, definitely seeing all of them on my bookcase together.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the aesthetic, I love it.
Just building that little town.
I know, it's so cute. I'm gonna have to get the sixth one when it's out as well, so that I can have the whole collection.
On a similar note, how do you balance being an author with the demand for social content? Is it something that you enjoy, or does it feel like a big pressure, or are you having help with all that?
Yeah, I mean, luckily I'm having help at this point, because it's not natural to me. Like some people are so good at it and they can just pop on and do a video and it's so cute. And I'm like, I can't, I don't know. It just doesn't come naturally. I'm a writer. I sit quietly by myself and I write books. Like it just doesn't feel comfortable so much for me to do all of these social media things. So luckily I have help now. There are lovely marketing people at HarperCollins that help me, and we figure out what to post. And that has been really, really good, because like I said, it just isn't, I feel like, yeah, it's just not something I'm thinking about, you know, like, oh, I should post this or I should write about this. So it's very helpful to have someone be like, okay, like let's, you know, we should talk about this. People want to know. So that's been really good.
So you must have picked up some tips along the way that you could maybe pass on to our listeners about how to get noticed on BookTok and on social media.
I mean, I wish I had like specific tips. With Pumpkin Spice, it was just, I don't know. It feels like lightning in a bottle. I don't know how to capture that. I would say if you can, I mean, I know people do, obviously there's, you know, you get advanced readers and people have like their street team, as they say, or whatever it is, where you just get those early readers excited. I feel like maybe that's a big piece of it, because to me, it's just so much more meaningful, or I don't want to say meaningful, but just maybe has more oomph behind it when it's the reader saying that they really loved it. So I guess that,
so organic as well, when it isn't the marketing companies, it isn't, you know, it is readers telling you what they want and what they're enjoying.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so.
It comes across so much more authentic when it's not you saying, hey, my book's great. I'm like, yeah, you're going to say that. You wrote it. Of course it's great.
But like, I like it. But...
Then if people believe it so much more because they're not being paid to say that.
Exactly. And
I don't know whether it's come from like your marketing team or it's, again, just the buzz around the whole series. But the hype and the excitement for this book in September is absolutely ridiculous. It's all over TikTok. And even like book six, people are already like, get it out.
I know. I'm like, give me a chance. I have to write it.
Like, let me just finish with this one first. Blimey.
Yes. Well, I think that is the beauty of the series too. I mean, especially for romance, I feel like anyone, when you're reading romance, you're looking at those side characters and you're like, who is getting a book, right? And so I think that as far as building hype, that's definitely really been the main thing, I would say, is people are seeing those side characters and wanting their story. Yeah. So yeah, so maybe that's it. Write a series. I don't know.
And send your book out to everyone, get them to read it and talk about
get everyone excited, like so many advanced readers on that first book, I would say. Yeah.
Definitely. And what does a typical writing day kind of look for you? Do you have a set structure to your writing, or is it kind of as and when?
I'm pretty structured in certain ways, so I don't really plot. I'm not so much a plotter. I kind of start with the characters. I always have my characters and some of the tropes I want to hit since it's romance. And then I kind of just have to start. So I don't really have it mapped out. So in that way, I'm kind of loosey-goosey. But then as far as like my writing day, I typically write in the morning. Well, I'm a mom, so the kids have to be at school typically. That helps, quiet house. And then my husband makes me a spreadsheet for every book, so I know how many words I have to write per day. So that helps me to not feel wildly overwhelmed of like, oh, I just have to sit down and write a whole book, like piece of cake. So it's broken down into digestible little pieces, and I know, you know, how much I have to write that day. And it also helps me to know when I'm done. So I can say, you know, I wrote my words for the day. I don't have to be thinking for the whole rest of the day. I should probably be writing because I know I don't have to be. So that's basically how I do it. And then in little pieces, it gets done. Takes about 3 months usually for that first draft.
Oh, that's a brilliant way of doing it.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, to sit down and say I'm going to sit here and write a novel. Like, that's terrifying. My brain short circuit. Oh, so
outrageous.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. And then can you, I know obviously there's lots of rumors about book number six and the title, but would you be able to give us a bit of a sneak peek into what you're working on next?
Yeah. So book six, the Daisy Chain Flower Shop. It's not food this time. It's flowers. Although I'm sure somehow food is going to work its way in because it always does, but it's not in the title this time. It's a flower shop. So you will meet our main characters, Daisy and Elliot, will appear in Gingerbread Bakery. So they won't be strangers to you by the time everyone gets to book six. Basically, Daisy is cursed a little bit, maybe. Dream Harbor thinks she's a little cursed in love. And Elliot also has some heartbreak in the past. And they obviously decide that fake dating is what's going to save the day. So there's fake dating in this one. I think it's going to be a pretty slow burn for these two. And that's basically all I know for now. The cover is super cute. I'm really excited to reveal it.
It's fake dating. I don't know what that is.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, fake dating, a beloved romance trope wherein two characters decide for whatever crazy reasons that they should pretend to date and that will somehow solve their problems. So in this case, Daisy decides that fake dating Elliot will show the town that she's not actually cursed. She's fine. She can totally be in a healthy relationship. And Elliot decides that fake dating will get his family off his back because they've been very worried about him. And then obviously through the process of fake dating, they realize they want to date for real.
Of course.
So fun.
Oh, I can't wait to read that one. That's going to be great.
That does sound like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it does.
And I'd love to know what you read. Can you give us a book recommendation?
Sure. I have it because it's so cute. I know you said this is audio only, but this cover is called Late Bloomer.
Aww.
By Maisie Eddings, and I totally bought it for the cover, but then it was actually really lovely. It takes place on a flower farm. Like, come on. And it's just, if you like characters that are like wounded, but then kind of help each other heal, then I would say this one is for you. It's sapphic, it's flowery, it's so nice. I liked it.
And who was the author?
Maisie Eddings.
Lovely. Thank you. Well, it's been absolutely a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been brilliant. Thanks so much. And we look forward to sharing the book with everybody in September when it's out. And then again next year when book number 6 comes out. You're very busy from now on. So.
Yeah, I got to get to work, I guess.
Well, brilliant. Thanks so much again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for tuning into The Write Club. We hope you enjoyed this episode and feel inspired to keep writing. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at Writers Online, your go-to for writing tips, competitions, and exclusive updates. Plus, you'll never miss an episode of The Write Club. Until next time, happy writing.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water